This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Okay, welcome back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210. We had a great day on Friday with our Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. Thanks again for that. One of the players who stepped up, a real star on Friday, is our very own treasurer, Stacey Garrity, a veteran, and she joined us on Friday. And Stacey, thanks for doing that. That meant a lot. You really helped us reach our goal of close to $125,000 for the Travis Manion Foundation. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, Rich, that's great. I'm so glad you hit your goal, and I was honored to join.
But we need to talk about some other political issues pending in Pennsylvania, and I know Friday was not the best day to do that, but there's a lot going on, and you have an initiative that you wanted to come on the show and talk about, which I think everybody in Pennsylvania can benefit from. So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. So it's Pennsylvania Money Match, and Rich, this was introduced to Senate Bill 24, and believe it or not, this received unanimous support in the State House and the State Senate, and it actually eliminates red tape from government. How beautiful is that? What it will allow Treasury to do is automatically return unclaimed property up to $500. And so the first check went out Monday, and so hopefully some of your listeners are going to be receiving checks, and let's make sure they cash them, because this money does not belong to the state. It belongs to the hardworking Pennsylvanians that earned it.
I love that. I think it's fantastic. So you say it's automatic. It's just going to happen. The money's just going to come to them.
Yes, up to $500, has to be a single owner. So they're, you know, more complicated claims. They're still going to have to go in and, you know, fill out the form and claim it. But most people don't even know they have unclaimed property. So this is the first time ever that we can just proactively cut a check. So the first letters went out January. The checks went out end of January. The checks went out. Just about $2 million worth of checks went out this week. And then we do the process again in May. We're going to send out 40,000 letters. So we're basically going to quadruple what we sent. And then the checks will go out 30 days after that.
Good. Excellent. Love it. And if people want to find out for more complicated cases, Stacey Garrity, is there a website they should go to or call your office? Or what's the best way to do that?
They can go to the website. It is super easy to use. It's phtreasury.gov/unclaimed property. And all you have to do is pop in your name. And I guarantee you that with 1 out of 10 Pennsylvanians having unclaimed property, that you, your family, your friends, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to find things. There's also, you know, properties for unclaimed property for local governments, nonprofits, businesses. So make sure that you look up any organization that you're affiliated with.
Love it. Thank you for doing this. I mean, this is great. You're right. The property belongs to the owners, not the government. So this is terrific. And yeah, sometimes situations happen and people even forget about this. So just doing it automatically on their behalf, Stacey Garrity, is a wonderful thing. So thank you for doing that. I wanted to mention, you know, today is National Medal of Honor Day. You posted on your X account, which is Garrity for PA. Today's National Medal of Honor Day, a day to honor the bravest of the brave. Let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, you are one of the bravest people that I know, and you've served our country. How important is this day?
Oh my gosh. So it's incredibly important, and I'm glad you brought it up, because speaking of medals, my vault, which is the largest working vault in the nation, that's just a fun fact, we receive military decorations, and largely from abandoned safe deposit boxes. So since taking office, I've returned 472, including 11 Purple Hearts and 3 Bronze Stars. Next week, we're returning another Purple Heart and a Gold Star medal to a relative. This was a private first class that died 10 days before the end of World War One. And so we have pictures of his mother in France next to the cross. And so we took a fair amount of detective work, but we found the granddaughter. And so we are returning that Gold Star medal to her next week.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great news, Stacey. I'm glad you're doing that as well. This is just a totally positive interview with just great news all around. I love it. It makes me happy on a Tuesday. So appreciate it very much. Stacey Garrity's with us, of course, our treasurer, who is just crushing it out there in Pennsylvania. Well, you know what? Since we got your Twitter account open, you also praised the Attorney General, Dave Sunday. He's one of the 26 attorneys general who have signed a letter in support of a brief, I should say, in support of President Trump's deportation of gang members. And you tweeted out, you said, shout out to PA's own AG, Dave Sunday, for joining the fight to deport violent Trende Aragua gang members. These thugs can self-deport or go the hard way. Either is fine with me. Or either is fine
with me.
Right. Is it either or either, Stacey? I don't even know. Which one is it?
I think it's either. They can do it the easy way or they can do it the hard way. But I am so proud of what ICE is doing. I mean, we've deported almost in the process of over 32,000 illegal aliens who are mainly, you know, they've been convicted of very violent crimes, you know, burglary, rape, murder. I mean, you name it.
Yeah. Yeah, these are bad people, and nobody wants them on their streets. I mean, it's crazy to me that Democrats are actually fighting to try to keep these violent criminals here in the United States. This is such a losing issue for them. It's just like in Philadelphia, too, with, you know, you've got a district attorney there who's on the side of the criminals and not the police, and it's a losing issue for them there. People want safe streets. It's not really not that complicated. I mean, we just want to get rid of violent criminals. It's the right move. It's the right message. And if Democrats want to die on that hill, Stacey, they can do it either by choice or they can either do it by luck, but it's going to be a disaster for them politically, I think.
I couldn't agree with you more, 100%. Just the fact that the previous administration didn't deport them is, to me, unconscionable. And so I applaud President Trump for getting the heck out of our country. I mean, what do people mainly want? They want safe streets. They want safe communities.
Yeah.
They want their kids to be able to, you know, to go out after dark. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's happening all over our great Commonwealth.
The Angel of the Desert is with me right now, Stacey Garrity, our treasurer. That was the nickname that she had in Iraq, the Angel of the Desert, where she kept a perfect record of human rights and kept the camp secure. Stacey, another issue that we're talking about a lot in all across the board is energy and what's going to happen with that going forward. You know, I live in New Jersey, even though I broadcast out of Philly. We're looking at energy rates of 17% to 25% hikes this summer because the green energy deals just didn't work. And, you know, I was reading a story today of the mass exodus of people leaving states. And one of the states that they mentioned is Pennsylvania. A lot of people are fleeing Pennsylvania. California, obviously, is losing the most people. New York's losing the second most. But PA is up there. And people are saying it's too expensive to live here. It's too expensive to build a business here. And we have to get out. That's a real shame. And it worries me going forward that we're going to lose a lot of great people in the Commonwealth.
Rich, we are. And I don't know if your listeners appreciate this, but in 3 years, we are totally out of money. So we're going to be out of our rainy day fund. We're going to be out of the surplus left over from the federal dollars. Out. And so the only way that I see that we can turn that around is energy, to unlock the liquid gold underneath our feet. And that would be a real game changer. But right now, businesses don't even want to come to Pennsylvania and invest because we're still a part of this regional greenhouse gas initiative, REGI. And the governor also has PACER in his lightning energy plan. And PACER is the same thing. It's a cap and trade. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, businesses don't want these burdensome regulations. We should take advantage of the natural resources that we have and make it known that Pennsylvania is open for business.
Absolutely. We could be exporting natural gas to the world. I'm sure as a veteran, it must infuriate you that last year alone, the European countries that were supporting Ukraine gave Vladimir Putin $1 trillion for his oil and natural gas. I mean, that burns me. It burns me as a taxpayer. It burns me as an American. We have all this liquid natural gas. We could have a liquid natural gas export facility outside of Philadelphia, expand the one in South Jersey. We could be serving the world. The fact that the governor is keeping us in REGI, this regional greenhouse gas initiative, is a disgrace. We could be the nation's leader, and our natural gas could get to Europe faster than any other part in the country. This is what Pennsylvania needs to do.
Well, we absolutely need to do it. Our natural gas is 30% cleaner than what comes out of Venezuela, even. So it's just, it's ridiculous. Energy security is national security, as you know. And yes, it really irritates me. I mean, it makes my head explode when I see what we import and how, we fund Ukraine and then support Russia. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the governor's signing missiles, you know. All right, but Stacey, you said we're going to run out of money in 3 years. How does the current budget situation look for Pennsylvania?
So the bottom line is this year we'll end the year with a $3.5 billion hole, so structural deficit, which means we're spending more than what we bring in. Next year, it is $6 billion. The year after that, it is $6.9 billion, which is why I say in 3 years, we're totally out of money. Now, this year's original budget proposal is $51.5 billion. Which means that with that number, we'll tap into the rainy day fund to the tune of about $1.6 billion. So it's insane, because in 3 years, you know what'll happen. Either we have to stop spending, and I know nobody likes to do that. So we either have to rein in spending or increase taxes. So both are bad alternatives.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Why is the state being so fiscally irresponsible? Didn't Josh Shapiro run on saying that he was going to be responsible? I mean, he also ran on school choice. I mean, a lot of things he ran on, he's not doing. But I mean, this just seems to me to be unconscionable that we could be in the red like this.
Well, it is, but it's been going on for a long time, but it was hidden by all the federal government COVID money that we got in the door.
Yeah.
And so now, we're out of money, and it's not good. So the only way I see around it is to basically make Pennsylvania an easier place to do business with. By, reducing the burdensome regulations, unleashing, like you and I talked about, the liquid gold that we have right under our feet. That would be a game changer. That would be transformative for the state. You know, I travel to all 67 counties every single year. Parents and grandparents want opportunities for their kids and their grandkids. And they want the opportunities to have been right here in Pennsylvania. And I have to tell you, Ohio is just kicking our butt.
Well, that's not good. I don't want my butt to get kicked by Ohio, Stacey Garrity. We started the interview today by talking about unclaimed property, and I want to just remind everybody, go to patreasury.gov. You can claim what's yours, and also Stacey is now going to be sending checks if you have unclaimed property, so that's fantastic. But again, that website, patreasury.gov. This was great. I'm glad we had the time to catch up. I appreciate you doing this on behalf of property owners. I think that, you know, by you taking the initiative on this to return unclaimed property to the actual owners versus just confiscating it on the state's behalf, it's the right thing to do. It's the fiscally conservative thing to do. It's just good politics, and I appreciate you doing it for us. So thank you.
My honor. Thanks, Rich. It's always great to talk to you.
We'll talk again, Stacey. Thanks so much. Stacey Garrity, everybody.
Perfect. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
No, we're not banning pharmaceutical ads. It was a Fugazi parody account of Bobby Kennedy. But, hey, it fooled a lot of people. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. This is probably our fourth and final hour here, probably where I part ways with some of my MAGA friends and MAHA friends, just because of the First Amendment, which is this idea of banning drug ads. Look, I know they're annoying. Lots of ads are annoying. I get it. But companies have a right to advertise their product, and you have a right as a consumer to know what's available to you. And then when it comes to your health and drugs, you have a right to know what kind of drugs are out there. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And people say, well, the difference, though, is that doctors should only see the advertising. It's like, what? Well, the doctors are busy people. They're on the golf course or saving my foot. I mean, you know, no, there are lots of things that are bad for you. You can't turn on a game without seeing an ad for alcohol, which I'm told is bad for you. You know, beer commercials all the time. Every 5 seconds, there's a new beer commercial. And I like the Bud Light ones with Shane Gillis. I think he's saving that brand. They're funny. They're good. You know what I mean? But they're always advertising some alcohol product, even during college sports. Then you see gambling ads all the time. Now, look, I have nothing against gambling. I don't gamble myself, but people do. They have fun. They have a set amount of money. They don't bet over their head. And okay, I mean, I'm not going to judge. Do whatever you want. But then there are people that have had their lives ruined by gambling. So you see there's gambling ads at everything. And then there's the chain pizzeria ads. I mean, if I could put a ban on Nobody Out Pizza's The Hut or any of those other crappy national pizza chains, I would, actually. That's a ban I think we can all get behind as Americans. Like, no more Papa John's, no more Pizza Hut ban. Just enough. You know what I mean? Ugh. And every time I see those ads, you know, they go cheesy in that pizza, I just keep thinking of Fugazi, and I'm waiting for them to come out with some sort of pineapple special during March Madness that'll make you just lose it all. I get asked the question, though, well, isn't this like the cigarette companies? Well, I mean, cigarette companies had a big lawsuit. They agreed to not advertise in certain places. But when they do advertise, they have to make it so graphic that it's not worth it to them, because they got to put, like, people with, like, their throats missing. And it doesn't work for them. But they are advertising, like, the pouches, you know, the nicotine pouches on a lot of these podcasts that I listen to. I mean, Tucker Carlson's got one, and it's called Alp, I think it is. He advertises that, and he has to say, you know, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Then the other thing is, we advertise a lot of, the guns. Well, yeah, well, we have King Shooter Supply. We got Bob's Little Sports Shop, two great places to buy guns. Delaware Valley Sports, across the river. They were an advertiser of mine for a long time. Great places to buy firearms. Why don't gun manufacturers advertise more of their products? It's complicated. And there's no law against it. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of times, you know, they just don't think it really works in that sense. So they target advertising in different ways rather than just run a straightforward TV commercial in the middle of something. And, you know, obviously, like the Super Bowl ads, they reject firearms a lot of times. A lot of other social media companies, they reject it. They don't even want to do it, and it's expensive, and they don't know if there's good ROI on it, because you're reaching a specific demographic. It might be better to just go and find people that are already in the sporting community and go right to them. You know what I mean? The people looking for home defense, they see ads all the time. But banning an ad, banning drug ads, is antithetical to the First Amendment, because I have a right to know what's available in the marketplace for me. I have a real problem with this, and I have a good friend of mine who's totally into the MAHA thing and has been advocating for this for a long time. And it's like, well, you know, we're one of only two countries in the world that allows this. I said, but first of all, that's not a logical point to make. I don't care if every other country in the world does something. I tell my kids this all the time. If everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it? No. So that don't come at me with that argument. That's stupid. I don't care about that. That means nothing to me. If every country in the world gave up using fossil fuels, would you? Well, then we should too. I mean, you sound like the left. You know what I mean? And then they go, well, the pharmaceutical companies are keeping the mainstream media in business because they pay so much in advertising. Okay. And what's your point? I don't understand what your point is. You watch Fox News, you're going to see ad after ad for drugs and for supplements and Relaxium Sleep is Mike Huckabee's thing, right? And you got, anyway, you have a right to know what's out there, and these companies have a right to sell you their product. Now, the government can do things, obviously, like they can require warnings, and I think the drug ads are, for the most part, annoying. I find them to be very annoying because, you know, you see happy people dancing in slow motion. Patrick always points this out to me, too. Yeah, you see happy people dancing in slow motion. It's like, but, you know, side effects include death and your head falling off and your brain exploding. And, you know, you go you poopy pants in the middle of a meeting. But they're all happy and dancing. And, you know what I mean? Same with soda commercials, too. Everybody's always dancing. Jerry Seinfeld used to have a bit about this. What's with the soda commercials? They're always out there and dancing, drinking soda. But I mean, like, soda is terrible for you. I think everybody agrees on that. There are healthy soda brands that are coming around nowadays. But, if you drink a 240-calorie Coca-Cola like Matt DeSantis, loaded with high fructose corn syrup, it's not a good idea. Should there be warning labels on that? Should there be warning labels on Tasty Cake or any other wonderful dessert snack food? Warning, sugar has been linked to obesity, and obesity has been linked to, and then red meat. Should there be an advertisement? You know, warning, the cows too, and that causes climate change. And you go down a road, and just remember, you start doing this stuff, and the left gets their hands on it, and then they just ratchet it up 1,000 points to whatever it is that they want to put on there. You know, warning, this product causes climate change. Warning, meat is mean, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So you just stay away from that stuff. And I understand Kennedy's point about the power of the pharmaceutical industry. And again, this is another area where I disagree with my friend Gerald Posner, because he put out a tweet effectively saying that the United States should ban pharmaceutical ads. And he wrote a whole book about Big Pharma. And I understand Big Pharma's got a lot of power, but it's the commercials are not the issue. The issue is, in my opinion, they have far too much power over the FDA, the CDC, and the NIH. And they have people, it's a revolving door between the regulators and the pharmaceutical industry. That's why Bobby Kennedy's there. It's why Macari's there. It's why Botticelli is there. They're there to fix that. But banning an ad for, I don't know, some drug that's going to fight my red nose. I want to know about the red nose cream. If they come out tomorrow with a miracle drug that will finally address my rosacea. Because, you know, my dermatologist, Dr. Green, he's trying. He's trying his best. But this friggin' red nose, you know what I mean? I want to know about it. So I'm sitting here, and then all of a sudden, it's happy people dancing, and they're like, no more red nose. You cannot, you know, you don't have to look like red buttons anymore. Yay! Side effects include your face falls off, you know? You don't go out in the sun. Wear skin protection, because you could get burned, whatever it is. And then I call my doctor, and I go, hey, doc, just saw this ad for this new cream. What do you think? And he says to me, I think you're a good fit for it. Let's try it. I just don't understand the harm in that. You know what I mean? I don't understand the harm. I can't prescribe it to myself, but I can go out and buy myself a beer. I'll go get me a beer. I can see a beer commercial, and then that may make me think, oh, you know what? I want to crack open a beer right now. I could see an ad for delicious, wonderful, tasty cakes and go, you know, that's a great idea. Maybe give some crimpets. I could go for a crimpet right now. See an ad for national pizza chains and throw up. No, but go. Let's order some unhealthy, greasy, fattening, laced with all kinds of fugazi chemicals and nonsense. And I can order those. So in other words, I can do bad things for myself, but I can't prescribe myself a medication. there's still a check there between a doctor and the television screen. Whereas I see a gambling ad, it might inspire me to pick up my phone and start gambling. So there are lots of things that are bad for you. The advertiser's goal is to get you to use their product. That's why they spend lots and lots of money advertising. It's not so you don't use their product. They don't advertise, you know, whatever the gambling app is during the March Madness game so that you don't bet on sports. They want you to bet on sports. And you could do that right there in the privacy of your home and literally win money or ruin your life or whatever it is all by yourself with no check. It's not like you got to go to somebody. And you could see a commercial for a burger, order a burger, delicious, you know, gain weight, whatever. At least with the drugs. There's a doctor there. Has to prescribe it to you. So you can't just look at it and go, yeah, I'll take that. A lot of these other ads too for the supplements, you know, some of them get a little bit annoying. I don't even know what works, what doesn't work. You got to try it all for yourself. But the point is, you go down this road of banning advertisement, it will be something we'll regret. And I think it's unconstitutional too, because it's speech. It's protected speech. And you could argue, well, it's not political speech, Rich. Well, yeah, but it's speech. And, you know, nevertheless, the government can regulate it to the extent that it protects the public by saying they have to share the side effects that your head will explode and you go poopy pants in a meeting. But the company has a First Amendment right to communicate with consumers, and you have a First Amendment right to hear about brands, and people have a right in this country to also make money, which is a thing. Television stations, radio stations also have a right to make money. That's how I see it. All right, coming up, Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel both saying that they want to make sure the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution is protected. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you, Dr. Mike Vanaria.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Both Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel today, they reiterated that Section 702 of FISA and the FISA court, they need to ensure the Fourth Amendment protections are there. And they both said we need more reforms to ensure American citizens are protected. And that is a very, very good thing. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Just want to say thanks again for your incredible generosity with the Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. It was really great. And it's a shout out to my buddy Sonia, who really ran the whole thing that day. She did a fantastic job, and I'm super proud of everybody that helped out. I don't want to leave out anybody, but I just got to salute her for her organization skills are second to none. The big threat, of course, the United States of America, climate change. We're told that, anyway, by Senator Angus King, who wanted to know to Tulsi Gabbard today, why didn't you include climate change in your threat assessment against the United States of America? You know, it's so refreshing to have a director of national intelligence who actually has intelligence. You know what I mean? I find that to be just so resoundingly refreshing, to have an intelligent director of national intelligence who actually has intelligence. Now, Senator King, on the other hand, lacks intelligence, which is very, very obvious here. But you got to listen to this exchange here. Let's take a listen here. This is... Yeah, okay.
I want to move on. One note that surprised me, I've been on this committee now for, this is my 13th year. Every single one of these reports that we have had has mentioned global climate change as a significant national security threat, except this one. Has something happened? Has global climate change been solved? Why is that not in this report? And who made the decision that it should not be in the report when it's been in every one of the 11 prior reports?
I can't speak to the decisions made previously, but this annual threat assessment has been focused very directly on the threats that we deem most critical to the United States and our national security. Obviously, we're aware of occurrences within the environment and how they may impact operations, but we're focused on the direct threats to Americans' safety, well-being, and security.
How about how they will impact?
Before we get to Senator King's question... Yeah, we're aware of like events, like, you know, there could be a freaking volcano eruption, something like that, you know, an asteroid. But no, we're not going to go down this road of your phony, fake climate change nonsense anymore and pretend like, yeah, Guam's going to capsize, like that idiot congressman said. Or we're not going to say that climate change is the greatest threat facing mankind anymore. Humankind. We're not going to do it because it's stupid and it's not real. And we have intelligence. But of course, now his response to that is, well, what about the world? What about the world and the effects that climate change has on the world? Let's assume that they're correct, that climate change is going to cause all these things. What are we supposed to do about it exactly? How does that, like, what is the United States military supposed to do? And how does that affect American security? But just take a listen.
Mass migration, famine, dislocation, political violence, wow, which is the finding, by the way, of the 2019 annual threat assessment under the first Trump administration. You don't consider that a significant national security threat?
For the intelligence community, being aware of the environment that we're operating in is a given. What I focus this annual threat assessment on and the IC focus this threat assessment on are the most extreme and critical direct threats to our national security.
Let me ask a direct question. Who decided climate change should be left out of this report after it's been in the prior 11? Where was that decision?
I gave direction to our team at ODNI to focus on the most extreme and critical national security threats.
Your direction include no comments on climate change?
Senator, as I said, I focused on the most extreme and direct national security threats.
That's not a response to my question. Did you instruct that there be no finding in terms of climate change in this report?
I don't recall giving that instruction.
Well, why don't we just stop pretending, really, stop pretending like climate change is really this major threat? Why don't we knock it off with the illusion and focus on actual real threats? That's what I'd like to see. Can we do that, please? Would that be okay with you? I think that'd be okay with everybody. Democrats have problems. Wow, they got some real problems going into this election. There's one aspect of a New York Times piece in particular that shows just how screwed they are going into the future. And let me read it for you as we continue along here in our fourth and final hour. The party's in its worst shape in 50 years. The groundwork for a successful midterm season is not there. And this is the key takeaway. Ready? I know many Democrats believe this is a byproduct of Trump's years of playing a businessman on TV. That may be part of it. But Democrats allowed an affordability crisis to metastasize on their watch in ways they cannot blame perception or messaging for. If they are going to marginalize MAGA, they need more than a resistance. They need new answers that admit past failures. Look at the places Democrats govern. Liberal strongholds like New York, Illinois, and California. In 2023, California saw a net loss of 268,000 residents. In Illinois, 93,000 residents left. New York, 180,000 left. Why are they leaving? Surveys after surveys show the cost of living is too high. It's too freaking expensive. It's too expensive to get childcare. You have to live too far away from where you work. And they're going to Texas and Florida and Arizona. For Democrats, this is a political crisis. In the American system, to lose people is to lose power. If these trends hold, the 2030 census will shift the Electoral College sharply to the right. The states that Kamala Harris won in 2024 will lose perhaps as many as a dozen House seats and Electoral College votes. The states that Trump won would gain them. In that Electoral College, a Democrat could win every state Harris won in 2024, plus Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and still lose. Yeah, that's right. That's bad, isn't it? This warning comes from the New York Times' Ezra Klein. His very, very bleak picture for Democrats if they can't get out of their woke way right now. And I personally don't think that anything that they're doing is helping themselves. I really don't. You know, vandalizing Tesla trucks and supporting the vandalizing of Tesla trucks and mocking people in wheelchairs like Jasmine Crockett did.
Thank you so much, Morgan, because we in these hot ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. it's mess, honey. So, yes. Right. Okay.
As a member of Congress, where's the civility? I'm just curious. The man's confined to a wheelchair since he was paralyzed in 1984. I'm wondering where the civility is in this day and age. And somebody share that with me, Governor Hot Wheels. Nice. And then they all just cheer and they laugh. So you see, they're not doing any favors. They're not helping themselves in any way, shape, or form. It's bad. And this is why the internal battle is going on with Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer, and all of it is happening right now. Listen to this report.
Cortez's criticism of Schumer has been harsher, fueling speculation she'll challenge him in the Democratic primary when he is up for re-election in 3 years. For his part, Sanders doesn't want to talk about whether or not Schumer should remain the Democratic leader in the Senate. And he got irritated when I asked him about the possibility of AOC running, abruptly getting up to end the interview.
Okay, you're out there with AOC today. Do you see her as a future of the progressive?
We have one of the untold stories of what's going on in current American politics is that in the House of Representatives, you have dozens and dozens of strong, smart, disciplined, hardworking young people in the Progressive Caucus. And, you know, way back when I first came to the Congress and the House, I helped form the Progressive Caucus. We had five people at that time. Now they got close to 100. So you got a whole lot of good people. Alexandria is extraordinary.
Now, think about the Progressive Caucus and how their policies have affected those blue states and how people are fleeing those blue states. Schumer's state, New York, lost so many people now that they could lose a seat in the House. So you lose people, then you lose seats in the House of Representatives. You lose that, you lose electoral votes. I mean, it's a really, you talk about being in the wilderness for 50 years. The Democrat Party is so incredibly screwed for, I mean, even beyond anything you can imagine. So I'm just pointing out to you that I think that the Democrats are ridiculously in bad shape right now. And here's something else, too, that I found. Rob Lowe says Los Angeles leadership should be fired over film TV production exodus. It's too expensive to shoot in LA. It's too expensive. I love Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is great. He said it's criminal. He and his Parks and Rec co-star Adam Scott said that if they had to film Parks and Recs today, they would have to film it in Budapest because it's so expensive in California and Los Angeles. That's how expensive it is. State film and TV production has gotten literally everybody has to move overseas now to these various hubs, these various places.
The floor there.
It's cheaper to bring 100 American people to Ireland than to walk across the lot
right.
Fox.
Right.
Past the sound stages and do it there.
Crazy. Do you think if we shot Parks right now, we would be in Budapest?
100% we would be. We'd be in Budapest. We would be.
It's so weird. There's nothing shoots in Los Angeles.
Nothing. Nothing. I had my next show already done, scripts, deals closed.
Yeah.
And they said, we're shooting this in New York. And I said, I'm not moving to New York to do this.
Yeah.
And then it went away. The show's done. I'm not doing it.
Wow.
Amazing, right? Not amazing. They're just not going to do it. Not going to do the show. Criminal. It is criminal. It's too expensive to shoot there. And that's the situation. I'm not doing it. Too expensive to shoot in California. I mean, he's got the money. He doesn't have to work. But this is what I mean about the left destroying everything with their policies. They want to be the party of the working class, but the working class can't afford to live in your states. So they're going to keep hoping that this signal thing lives on and on and on, but it's not going to. It's not the kind of thing that is going to last. What is going to last, though, is what was revealed by CNN, forcing to admit that Donald Trump has completely corrected the trend of Americans thinking the country is headed in the wrong direction.
Let's take a look at the percentage of the country who say that we're on the right track. It's actually a very high percentage when you compare it to some historical numbers. What are we talking about? According to Marist, 45% say that we're on the right track. That's the second highest that Marist has measured since 2009. How about NBC News? 44%. That's the highest since 2004. Well, the bottom line is the percentage of Americans who say we're on the right track is through the roof. And if you were to compare merit to when presidents have historically been reelected. Of course, Trump is not constitutionally eligible to run for reelection, but I think it sort of puts it in perspective. 42% of the country says the country is on the right track when the incumbent party is reelected. And also keep in mind.
So think about that. That means that for midterms, even though the party's historically in the White House loses in midterms, this could be an outlier. Trump is so popular right now, and the Democrats are so unpopular right now. Midterms could actually go the way for Republicans. And this isn't even talking about that scenario in 2030 when the Electoral College flips red and then persists that way for generations, potentially. This is just next year. Next year, the House could gain more Republican seats. That's how bad things are for Democrats.
When Kamala Harris lost and the Democrats were turned out of power, only about 27 to 28% of the country said the country is on the right track. The bottom line is right now, a much higher percentage of the country says we're on the right track.
Much higher percentage of the country says we're on the right track. The right track, wrong track thing never lies. It never lies. It's always because people will lie about who they're going to vote for, but they won't lie about how they feel the country is going. And that's the difference. That's the situation there. So eventually what's going to happen, you know, like you've got these protesters today, you know, disrupting the Senate hearing on national security. You have all these the histrionics that are going on Capitol Hill. And they do act like freaking babies. They act like babies. And it's goofy and it's silly. And you got Sarah Haynes on The View saying, stop with the performative theater. Like, stop it. This is not how you're going to do things. And then you have a disabled woman who had her Tesla vandalized, and to these kooks, and we talked about this earlier in the show today, who are doing these horrible things, like blowing them up, but also keying vehicles and everything else they're doing. How do you think this hurts Elon Musk, you idiots? It doesn't. It hurts people like this poor woman here, Abigail. Take a listen to this news report.
Now she says she feels targeted. Damaging a personal vehicle does not affect Elon. If anything, it's giving him more money to fix the vehicle that you damaged. It's not damaging who you're thinking it is.
Just before 6 p.m. on Thursday, Abigail Gill and her family were seated for dinner at Olive Garden. Over an hour later, they left, and what they found waiting for them was shocking.
Quite a lot of damage. He keyed this side as well, which, as you can see, this side, it even looks like it affected above the tire. This is a lot more damage.
This comes less than a week after a possible arson at a Tesla dealership in Kansas City. Gill believes her brand new Tesla was targeted because of the current political climate and perception of Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
But it felt really disappointing that this is happening in such a great country, a great state. So for this to be happening in Kansas, of all places, is super shocking.
She says her family has had discussions around if it's even safe to be driving a Tesla anymore.
You know, there was a meme that went around today. I don't know if it's real or not, but people are like, one guy had a Tesla Cybertruck. He put Toyota on the back of it, so it didn't say Tesla. Again, I don't know if that's a meme, if that's a joke. I don't know. But all I know is this. This is wrong, what they're doing to people. This is really wrong. And at one point, everybody was going to be mandated to buy these friggin' cars. Now, people are destroying them just to send Elon Musk a message. And I don't know.
In part because of incidents like hers. If she could send a message to the man who keyed her car, it's this.
You have put a very big crisis on me because physically I am in a wheelchair. I just hope that he definitely gets the correct punishment. I hope he pays all of the damages. It is well over $1,000, possibly over $10,000 of damage. I hope that the Wichita police continue to find him.
I feel so bad for her. I really do. I mean, I feel so bad. These are lunatics. So I'm just saying, when you look at the way the world is going, you look at the state of things in America, there's no question in my mind, Republicans they're going to do very, very well. The Democrats keep stepping on themselves, and their antics are just going to drive away people. Rooting for an American automobile company to fail, rooting for American jobs to go away, and then damaging people that bought these cars, maybe a lot of them thinking that they were doing the right thing for the environment. I don't know. So now you're targeting a lot of your own people? Think of how stupid that is. You're going after people who bought a car because they may, and I don't know for sure, obviously, people have different reasons for buying things, but I assume a good portion of them probably bought a Tesla thinking that they were doing the right thing for Mother Nature, birthing person nature, excuse me. So you're destroying and vandalizing the property of your own people? You idiots? All right, let's turn it over to Jimmy Failla and Fox Across America. Thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate it. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.